Hi everyone, and welcome to Cricket Unfiltered, the News Corp Cricket Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Mensel, and this is our Adelaide Day 1 Ashes Report. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, day-night Ashes men's test cricket is finally here, and let's head straight to the Adelaide Oval to hear all about it from our reporters on the scene.
Thank you, Menace. Here with Robert Craddock here after day one of the second test, and the predictions were correct. Crash, a lot of spite out there today, a lot of feeling between these two teams, and there's a lot to play out in that department as the match goes on. After day one, Australia sits at 4 for 209. Interesting day of test cricket, but England won the toss and sent Australia into bat. 4 wickets probably not enough. Is that how you saw it?
Categorically Australia's day, and you can say, oh, they kept the runs down, but really, that was it was a difficult wicket, difficult to score in front of the wicket and to absorb 3 hours of floodlit cricket and lose only 3 wickets to the bowlers. There was a run out, of course, Bancroft. Definitely Australia's day. If you said to England, Joe Root, you'll only take 4 wickets today, he would have said, oh, I'll bat first. You know, so Australia's day, beyond question.
Crash, can you get inside why Joe Root went the way he did? Because if you look at the history of test matches in Adelaide, only Joel Garner's team led team in 1982. They're the only side that has ever done what England is trying to do here, that is winning the toss, choosing to bowl and going on to win the test. It just doesn't happen here.
Yeah, and I think you've got to be a very mentally strong team to bowl first and win, because it means you're batting second. It means you're putting pressure on your bowlers first up, and I don't think they are a mentally strong team, England. They're not bad, but if you, generally speaking, particularly in Adelaide, it's been a bat first wicket. So I can't see them getting out of it, to be frank, because I just was watching the play tonight thinking if Mitchell Starc was bowling here, he would have taken 3 for 10 at some point. So, look, an encouraging day for Australia. They showed fight. They chipped in. Khawaja chipped in. Warner was good. Hanscombe, Sean Marsh, very good again. But Stephen Smith, the absolute fierce war of words. I've never seen him carry on like that. And it's not a bad thing either. He took them on in the sledging stakes. They went hard at each other. But he was fired up as much as I've ever seen him.
Yeah, I mean, Crash, have you seen many batsmen in your time who sledge to that extent? I mean, they're the ones usually copping it. There might be the wry smile or the little word here and there. But, I mean, he almost flipped the tables to the point where he was being the aggressor.
It's very rare. Javed Miandad used to sledge. He'd walk to the wicket and, like I say, morning, Javed. And he said, won't be a good morning for you by the time I finish with you under this hot sun. He had it, you know. Michael Atherton once came to the wicket and was feeling nothing inside him, so he turned and said to Moeen Khan, the Pakistan wicketkeeper, just shut up today, Moeen. You know, don't annoy me at all. Of course, it fired him up, and that fired up Atherton, and he was away. So batsmen have used it as a tactic to motivate themselves over the years, but very, very rare. Viv Richards, but most batsmen know the percentages are not in their favour.
Are you concerned at all about, I mean, we didn't see anything that seemed to suggested had gone over the line today. There was 2 occasions, I think, where the umpires did intervene. That was Stuart Broad and Steve Smith going at each other for an over. And then when James Anderson positioned himself in a fielding position at short mid-on, where he was virtually standing side by side with Smith at the non-striker's end. Are you concerned about things getting out of control here?
Yeah, I love the spice of it. I really do. I think cricket needs these sort of confrontations. It's not beyond the pale. It's not beyond the spirit of cricket, but it's the Ashes. And I said in my story, there's a bit of a theory that normally in the Ashes, there's a Sydney syndrome. By the last test of the series, they're at each other's throats. There's just all these one-on-one rivalries. And by Sydney, everyone's over it and at each other. They've reached the Sydney syndrome long before they've got to Sydney. They've just about had enough of each other already.
Yeah.
It's a good thing for Ashes cricket, I've got to say. I don't see stuff, anything there that's embarrassing or anything like that. But it's a spicy old-fashioned Ashes, and I've got to say, Ashes, that's the Ashes.
Yeah. Just a few details to wrap up. England's bowlers had some good periods, but as you said, it just didn't seem like they got their lengths right early. Maybe the rain didn't help. Certainly the heavy wind early didn't help. Craig Overton, in a way, sort of showed the others up, didn't he? And that wicket of Steve Smith, you'll never forget that.
He was steady. Smith was called him slow to his face, which, you know, once again, is unprecedented. But he looks a willing, handy prospect, a good, battle-hardened young player. But you're right, the pressure of bowling first, you know, Anderson and Broad lost their radars. I think in David Warner's first 13 overs at the wicket, one ball he faced would have hit the stumps. Not good enough. So I just, leaving the ground, Ben, now feeling England have thrown this one away a bit. There's so many twists and turns ahead. That may be an irrational statement, but I just think Australia, yet again, has weathered the storm.
The one thing in England's favour is if they can get a couple early tomorrow, there's, you know, they break this partnership between Hanscom and Marsh. Tim Payne hasn't played a lot of cricket. They could get through the tail quickly if they bowl well, but you get the feeling if Hanscom or Marsh, one of those guys, is able to go on and get a ton, it's almost game over.
Well, it is, because it means his nightmare situation for England, Australia bats till sunset. Good luck.
Yeah.
M Stark, pink ball, carnage. Australia 2-0, Ashes all but gone if that happens tomorrow.
So plenty of responsibility here on Hanscom and Marsh. They put up a great partnership earlier in the year in Ranchi where they saved a test match, and you know, pretty tough stuff tonight to get through under light. So they'll resume in the morning. Australia 4 for 209, going to try and make it four pink ball wins from as many starts. Thanks for your company. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Menace. Thanks a lot.
Great stuff, and thanks for listening to Cricket Unfiltered. We'll be back tomorrow with another Daily Ashes update, but remember, you can head straight to dailytelegraph.com.au for the online blog, or you can subscribe to this podcast on whatever app you listen to podcasts on. Thanks again, and we'll be back tomorrow.